If you wouldn't turn to Matthew chapter number 9, book of Matthew chapter number 9, and we'll get there in just a moment. Good to have some special guests with us tonight. To introduce myself, my name is Thad Peacock, and our family is our missionaries going to the Canadian Arctic, to Baffin Island, and hard to believe we will be there 2 weeks from Friday. So it is coming very, very quickly. Our house is getting emptier and emptier, which is a very good thing. So we're packing all the things that we need, and we need all the things that we packed. And so it's a unique transition right now in our family, but we are thankful for the opportunity. And Pastor asked me to speak tonight, and I gladly accepted that, and looking forward to spending some time with you folks this evening. He also asked me to just take a little bit of time and kind of bring everybody up to speed. Many of you have been very good about asking questions and what's going on, and plans do change from time to time. And so you might have gotten a piece of information here and a piece of information there, and you might have a couple of questions. So I'd like to real quickly just kind of lay out a kind of a series of events that's going to happen here in the next couple of weeks. So to bring everybody up to speed at the same time, and then address just a couple of other things. Sunday, obviously, we'll have the commissioning service, and we are looking forward to that. Then on Monday, the trailer that we've packed is a 6x12 trailer, and that will be being pulled up to Michigan. Bars will probably be here Sunday evening, and I'll be pulling that back up on Monday. And so that is all of our stuff. And then so we'll be here next week through the week, and next Saturday our family will leave and drive up to Michigan to meet up with our trailer. We'll be in Port Huron over the weekend through Monday, and then on Tuesday, July the 9th, is when we make our border crossing. And I'd encourage you, ask you to maybe make a note of that day, that morning specifically, as we'll be crossing the border, dealing with immigration, and at that point, being given our visas. We can't apply for our visas until we get to the border, and so it is really the visa situation is in the hands of whatever immigration officer we get that day. And whatever mood he's in, if he didn't get enough coffee that morning, all of those things. But our God is able, and so we'd appreciate your prayers for that. That would be the 9th. We'll cross the border and drive to Ottawa, Ontario that day. The Wednesday, the 10th, we will drive the trailer on to Montreal, where we're unloaded at a warehouse, and they'll pack everything into bigger crates, into shipping containers. We'll say goodbye to that, and Lord willing, see it again the first full week in August. As long as the boat doesn't sink or anything like that happen. And so that'll be all of our stuff. We'll have a down day of the 11th to just finalize some final things there in Ottawa. And then on the 12th, we fly. So it's a whirlwind coming up. But hopefully that puts some things in perspective of where we'll be. So next Wednesday night will be our very last service here. Obviously, Sunday's our last Sunday. But hopefully that helps to bring you up to speed on a couple of those things. I have put together a piece of paper here that I brought tonight, and Pastor suggested that I pass this around here tonight. We had talked about posting it on the board. He suggested that it would probably be better to pass it around during service, because if you're like me, when something's hanging out on the board, I forget about it. So this is just, I've put it together. It's called Best Method to Keep in Contact. As we get to the Arctic, we'd like to stay in contact with you folks. And so I've put a couple of different things here. I've put a place for a name, and then email, phone, Skype, and regular mail. Now, we have represented here tonight the whole gamut of people. Some people would like us to put a letter in a bottle and throw it in the bay and let it float to them. Some people are texting and instant messaging and all of those things. So we'd like to keep in contact with you, but we'd like to know what was best for you. So I've made a place. I've kind of filled the top one out with my name in it just for as an example to kind of see. So just make a check mark on the ones that you'd be interested in. We do have updates that we'll be sending out. Brother June, I'll start this with you, and you can just pass it back through there. I'll send the pen with it in case somebody doesn't have one. We'll be sending updates out and things like that. I just want you folks to be a part, to know what's going on there, and to have a sense of the ministry there, to know how to pray, to know how to rejoice with us as well. There is extra room on the back. If it gets all filled up, just flip it over and go to the back. And if there's more than one member in the household, multiple email addresses or whatever, just feel free to add those in there. If you're not comfortable putting your email or phone or whatever in there, just check the box and then catch up with us after church, and we can write those things in later on at that point. So hopefully that'll be a help both ways. It'll help us know how best to stay in contact. We will have a phone up there. Most days it should work. They are satellite-based, and so if our satellite takes a nap like it did in Rankin Inlet, sometimes some of those things can get interfered with, but by and large that should work. And so we will be able to be contacted, and we'll share some more of those things as we get there and get settled in. Preacher also asked I take just a couple minutes and open up if there's any last-minute questions that people have had, things that maybe you're scratching your head about still, anything that we can answer or clarify. So I'd like to open up any questions at this time. We've kind of gone over a lot of this a lot of different times. Yes, Miss April. Okay. Good question. The baby is due right before Christmas. Imagine that. The peacock said another holiday. And yes, we are planning to have the baby right there in town. Hitzes have had one there. And because it's the territorial capital, we have kind of the best medical of the whole territory. And so barring any unforeseen circumstances at this time, we'll have it there, and it will become our first Canadian. And so it will be born a Canadian, and we'll have to apply for U.S. citizenship and all that stuff for it after the fact. So that's a unique one for us to go through. But that is the plan. And so as we get up there, we'll get some things established with that. But that is a good question. Any others? Mr. Zerby? Okay, good. Very good question. If you were to come visit us, yes, first and foremost, you'd have to have a passport. There are no roads coming into the whole Nunavut territory anywhere. So if you're coming to visit our territory, you're going to have to fly in. Most of that would be coming out of Ottawa. There's a direct flight every day from Ottawa to Iqaluit, barring any unforeseen weather. So it would be a matter of getting to Ottawa, whether that be driving, it's about 8 hours from here, or flying to Ottawa. Either way, and then flying on up from there. And if you were wanting to come, just get in contact with us and we'll make arrangements. We have several work crews that are coming up this fall to help with the building and things like that. So we've begun working through that process, and so we're looking forward to having some visitors coming up even this year. But did I answer your question? Very good. Any others? Good questions. Mr. Donnelly, yes, sir. It's going to be a 737, so there will be three seats on each side, and you will be treated, I don't know if anybody's flown 20, 30 years ago, but you get a full meal. That way, if you crash, the polar bears get people that have been fed recently. You get offered a pillow and a blanket and a newspaper and everything, coffee, and depending on which airline you fly, you get a warm chocolate chip cookie after your meal, and it's crazy, a hot towel to wash your face with, and That's why the flights are so expensive too, I guess. If they cut all that stuff out, we could fly a lot cheaper. But no, it's a regular full-size airplane. We've been on a 737, our family, with about 12 other people. And you get to pick any seat you want. So sit on the right side of the plane so you get to see our town when you fly in. Any others? Good questions. Mrs. Gross.
Have you met all your support?
Very good question. Right now, we have had two churches take us on for support in the past week to 10 days or so. So that has been a major blessing. And so that sets our support level at 94% right now. And so we're doing very well. There's a couple other situations, some churches that have promised to take us on once we get to the field, some churches that have indicated they'd like to raise our support. And if we factor all of those things in, we're sitting right at 99%. 98 to 99%. So we're thankful for what God has done, and definitely we'll be able to, you know, make ends meet and things of that nature. That 94% does not factor in any special offerings or things like we take up a missionary Christmas for our missionaries every year and things like that. A lot of churches do special things from time to time. So we're certain that God will take care of our needs, and we're thankful for what He has done already. It's been exciting to see Him bring it in. Just by way of illustration, one of the churches that called us this week or emailed us this week and told us they were taking us on for support was a church that we were in probably close to 2 years ago. And so a lot of times it can take some time to work through the system, and sometimes the churches aren't able to take us on when we first come, but they can later on. So as we get to the field, there still may be some other churches that add us after the fact and boost us up to that 100% mark. But God's been good to us. Good questions. Any others? All right. You're in Matthew chapter number 9. It's good to see Jennifer here today. Congratulations on reaching a milestone today, I believe, day 100. Amen. We've been praying. It's excited to see what God's doing there. Continue to pray. Continue to pray there. Some special scans coming up next week, I believe, right? We will continue to pray. Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. I'd like to share tonight just a couple of things that have been just special that the Lord's been doing in my heart. And hopefully there'll be an encouragement to you as well. Verse number 35, the Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you tonight for the opportunity to gather together. Lord, we are thankful that you've assured us of the harvest. Lord, tonight we pray that you would send forth more laborers into that harvest. Lord, help us as Christians to be diligent, to be obedient, to fulfilling the great commission that you've given to us, to reach the world. But what, Lord, would you help us as well in this matter of praying for laborers? Lord, teach us to pray as your disciples even asked and of you, that you would teach them to pray. Lord, we ask that you would teach us to pray in a very real way, to bear the burdens of one another. Lord, to see you work. So we pray that you would, in a special way, move and work tonight. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. If you were to go on up into chapter number 9, Jesus has been going about. He's been ministering. He has just recently began to call his disciples to himself. If you were to go back to verse number 9, he calls Matthew. Matthew's sitting at the receipt of customs and he says, "Follow me." He's begun to put these things together. And he's assembling his disciples, and as you get into verses 18 through 25, 26 in that area, there was a certain ruler who had a daughter who was dead, and Jesus healed her. He did a miracle. He restored the blindness and the speech to some of the people in 27 through 34. And it began to create some issues among the Pharisees, which we are very aware of. And we get to this ending part here. And Jesus says he's going about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Can you imagine this? Jesus has just recently called Matthew, and he continues to work, and he's still somewhat of a novelty in that area. He goes around and he's healing diseases. We've had a nasty cold run through our church and our area. Can you imagine if some visitor just came in and all of a sudden people just started getting better? I mean, we'd say, "Hey, stay here, you know, stay a little longer. All of a sudden we're getting better," right? And Jesus, certainly, to some people, he had to be viewed as almost a novelty, a good luck charm, so to speak, of, hey, when he's around, good things happen, hold on to him. And these disciples certainly are still trying to figure out exactly what manner of man he is. But verse number 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When he saw the multitudes. Have you ever seen a multitude? Anybody ever been to New York City? Anybody ever been to Times Square in New York City? Do you remember the first time you went to Times Square? A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity with work to go I don't know if it was necessarily a great opportunity, but I had to go to Times Square for a particular display that we had built in the big Toys R Us store right there on the square. And so I dealt with some of those things, and as I walked out, I remember it being a Tuesday evening. It was about 7 o'clock. I thought, perfect time to go to Times Square. Tuesday, nobody will be down there. 7 o'clock, nothing's going on. Everybody's home from work. And I walked out, and there were people everywhere. They have those bleachers there, and if you've been there, you know exactly where those are. And I climbed up to the very top of the bleachers and just sat there and saw a multitude of people all going somewhere. Where they are going, I have no clue. I had taken the subway. I went back to Grand Central Station. As I got into the middle of that area, there's a balcony on either side, and I got to the middle, and there's just people whizzing everywhere past you. And I got to the other balcony, and I remember standing at the balcony, looking over that area, and just people going everywhere. And you know what the first thought in my mind was? This is crazy. Why would you live here? Had the opportunity when we were coming back from Rankin in July of 2012, it would have been, to go with Paul Hitz. We climbed to the one of the uppermost hills there in Iqaluit. There's a cross that sits on the top of that hill. It was 30 below that morning. We had taken some video footage for our DVD presentation. I remember sitting on that top of that hill, overlooking the city, and there's people going everywhere. Not as many as New York City, but there's people going everywhere. And do you know there was a different sense sitting there that morning? Remember sitting there looking over that and being moved with compassion. Why? Because they're scattered. They're going here, they're going there. But they're missing it. They have no... The Hitzes have been there just recently, but before that, they had no gospel witness. As we walk out our doors, as we sit here tonight, going up and down Broadview Road, there's people. Does it move us with compassion to see them scattered abroad? Or do we just let them walk by? There are opportunities galore to minister to people. We don't live in the hills of Montana where our next neighbor's 4 miles away or anything. We have people everywhere. As Jesus looked at these people, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. We live in a world of fainting people. People that are trying everything to bring joy, to bring happiness into their life, but they're only ending up with emptiness because they don't have the answer. That was only found in Jesus Christ. They fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples. You can imagine the scene. There's all these people. And Jesus turns and says to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. I can imagine Jesus there looking at his disciples and all these people are standing around. And he says to them, the harvest truly is plenteous. They're right there. The harvest truly is plenteous, but... the laborers are few. Do you ever feel outnumbered? These 12 disciples probably felt majorly outnumbered when they looked at the multitudes and they saw their own selves. But Jesus says in verse number 38, pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus gives a command to pray for laborers. And oftentimes we've heard that, and rightfully so, to pray that God would move in the hearts of people to go. And I think that's a right application. There's a need for missions around the world. There's a need for missions right here at home. As we've traveled to churches throughout the Midwest and into the South, and as we've gotten around, there's needs everywhere. There's needs in Florida just as much as there is here in Ohio, and in Nebraska as much as there is in Pennsylvania. The need is everywhere. But Christ has commanded us to pray for laborers. and pray that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. And there's an important part of getting out into the harvest field. And as we stand, our family stands on that brink of entering into a different harvest field from where we're at right now. And you hear missionaries all the time, they come back, or they come in through on deputation, or they come back on furlough, and what's the first thing that they say? Church, will you please pray for us? Do you know that's not something we just get in training that we're supposed to go around and say? If you've ever read missionary biographies, when are some of the most amazing things happening? When people are praying. People praying thousands of miles away, and God's working over here. Church, you have an important opportunity to pray. But how do we pray? Tonight I'd like to share with you 7 ways that you can pray for missionaries. 7 ways. And this was something that somebody shared with me. It's not original to me. They actually broke it down into days of the week. So they would break it down to Monday, pray for missionaries this way. Tuesday, this way. Wednesday, this way. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'd like to share those 7 things with you tonight. And perhaps it'll help you. Because we get in a rut. I remember being in a rut. We get our prayer list, flip it over to the bag. The missionaries are there. Run a little short on time. God help the missionaries today. Give them what they need. Help them to be good missionaries where they're missionaries. Okay, got the missionaries off the list. Right? We've all been there. I have been. Let's look at these 7 things. And I'll list them by days of the week. You don't have to pray them this way, but it's been a helpful way to me to pray. Sunday. Sunday, pray for the missionary's relationship to God. Pray for the missionary's relationship to God. You say, why is that so important? That's foundational. That's foundational. If I'm not in this book, if I'm not growing, if I'm not right with God, how am I going to be used by Him? How am I going to go out to a lost and dying world and say, here, this is what God has for you, if I'm not receiving it from Him? Pray for my and all your missionaries' relationship with God. Satan would like nothing better than to bring in discouragement, distractions, things to get missionaries off course. Are there distractions on the mission field? You betcha. Ask a missionary in Africa sometime how they pay their water bill. Ask any missionary how they pay their water bill. Most times, it's they get a bill in the mail, and then they've got to find this little bitty hole in the wall that nobody really knows where it's at until you pay your water bill, then you know it's there. And you go in, you stand in line, and you wait till all these other people get out of line, then you try to converse in a language you don't understand with currency you're not familiar with. Those kind of things can get to be frustrations, difficulties, and they can become easily distractions from a relationship with God. Sunday, pray for your missionary's relationship with God. Monday, or number 2, however you're listing them, pray for the missionary's physical and emotional life. The missionary's physical and emotional life. We support missionaries all over this world. You go out and look at the map on the board. There's missionaries in Asia. There's missionaries in Africa. There's missionaries here in North America. All throughout this world. And especially our ones that are in more of a third world country or places that are a little bit more backward, a lot of the physical needs are very real and very present. How many times did we hear of the Olsons? Brother Olson was sick again. John had come down with it. So they're fighting malaria again. There's snakes in their yard. I was always kind of a little bit on high alert for that one. I'm still not a snake fan at all. But their physical life, their physical well-being. Mrs. Stevens battling with issues there. And just many of our missionaries, you could go through just about all of our missionaries, and there's some serious physical needs that they have. Pray for those things. Their emotional needs. There are emotional needs that they face. They're separated from home. They're separated by distance. They're living in a unique culture. A different culture. the Kojimas can understand this probably in a very real way. Having come to the America, they've left a familiar culture of Japan and have jumped into our crazy American culture. Do you think there's days where they miss Japanese culture? I'm sure. They would love for me to be able to speak Japanese and eat all that Japanese food. Maybe I might, the raw fish I might have a better chance of after coming back on furlough, after dealing with the Inuit for a little bit. But there's cultural things that they don't get about Americans. Pray for the emotional needs of the missionaries. Sometimes they're real. Sometimes they're homesick. Sometimes they're lonely. The family in Greenland, they just had some major discouragements in the church. Pray for them. Tuesday, or number three, pray for the missionary's family. The missionary's family. Having been on deputation, we've gotten to know some missionary families very well. And there is a danger many times associated with a missionary that gets so focused on the work that he neglects his family to a fault. Or a family that the children never really fit into the culture or learn the culture. And there are family pressures out there that they face. Pray for their family. If Satan can drive a wedge between a missionary and his wife, he can stop a ministry. I've heard on numerous occasions of missionary wives that have told their husband, it's either the field or it's me, take your pick. Why? Because Satan has driven that wedge. Pray for the missionary's family. Number four, Wednesday, whatever, however you're doing it. Pray for the missionary's ability to communicate. The missionary's ability to communicate. This covers a couple different areas. First of all, it covers language. Fortunately, for us, we'll be able to speak English. I am so thankful we'll be able to speak English when we get there, be able to function and things right off the bat. But we will be learning a language. A lot of your missionaries have learned another language. But learning a language is not the same as communicating. I can know a language, but not really communicate. Communication is much more than just what I say. Tonight I am saying things, but I am communicating even beyond what my words are saying. Through hand motions, through emphasis, through eye contact, some of those things. And there are things in every culture that are different. And learning to communicate. Here's a perfect illustration. In the Arctic, if someone were to ask me a question, Brother June, pick any question in the world, has to be a yes or no question, and ask me a question.
About you?
Anything. Yeah, ask anything in the world, as long as it's a yes or no question. And I'm going to answer Brother June as an Inuit person would.
Do you like Kalibuhu?
Now, I just answered June. What'd I tell you? He doesn't know. I told him, yes, I like caribou meat. The Inuit, to say yes, their face kind of comes up, and their eyes get big, and that's how they say yes. If you ask me, do you like muktuk, which is that oil blubber and skin, if he asks me that, I'm going to go kind of furrow my brow and wrinkle my nose up, and that means no. But a young kid comes over to your house, and you say, hey, do you want some hot chocolate? And they just stand there. And you say, do you want hot chocolate? And he's going. You say, do you want hot chocolate? He's going. We're not communicating. I'm talking, and he thinks he's communicating back to me. But we're not communicating. Communication involves taking a message, wrapping it up into a package, and delivering it to a person in a format to whereby they will understand it. If I go, here's a good illustration. This comes into sharing the gospel. If I went to a culture that believed in reincarnation, reincarnation is they believe when you die, you come back as something else. If you've been good, you might be moving up the totem pole a little bit. If you've been bad, you might be moving down the totem pole a little bit. All right? So I go into a culture that believes in reincarnation. I don't know if the Japanese culture does or not. Well, let's say it does. And I come up to Brother June and I say, Brother June, you must be born again. Did I communicate to him? What's he thinking? Well, yeah. I'm going to come back as something. I'll either come back as a bigger, stronger guy, or I'll come back as a flea, or I'll come back as something, depending on what I did. There are some cultural things that we need to be able to learn and grasp to communicate effectively. If I tell him, go to a cannibalistic society and tell them the verse where Jesus says, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you should not enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm serious. This is communication. Pray for the ability of your missionary families to communicate. I am going into a culture that I don't understand. I need to learn how to communicate with them. Thursday, or number four, or number five, however you want to look at this, pray for the missionary's ministry. Pray for the missionary's ministry. Most missionaries that you know, that we support, are going out and starting a brand new church. When you start a brand new church, you know what you have? Nothing. A brand new church. You don't have people that have been saved for 30 years, that have spiritual background and understanding, that have character to come to every service. The missionary comes to every service, sets up the chairs, and prays that somebody comes. And there's those days. There were days in Rankin where the service time came and we started and nobody was there. And I had to give that over to God and say, God, if nobody comes today, we'll still have church. Why? Because it's the ministry that He called us to. There's hard days in the ministry, and there are glorious days in the ministry. Pray for the ministry that it would be effective. Again, in reaching cultures, there are many different ways of getting the gospel out. There are certain countries. Here in America, you can't just go and stuff literature in somebody's mailbox. I think that's still against the law. But there's other countries where that's perfectly legal. There are some countries where they don't have mailboxes. We don't have mailboxes on our house in Kelly. Would you like to be a postman in the Arctic? No, they like to stay inside. So everybody has a P.O. box. So I can't just go hang something on somebody's mailbox. It's not there. But pray that God would give wisdom to missionaries to know how to effectively minister in the community that they're at. Number six, Friday, depending on how you're looking at this. Pray for the missionary and his fellow workers. Pray for the missionary and his fellow workers. In our case specifically, we'll be working with the Hitz family. And we're not starting like a Second Baptist Church of Iqaluit or anything. We're working at this together. We've had people ask that question. Are you guys going to be, you know, starting the same church? Are you going to be starting separate churches? Our town's only about 5 square miles, so we're thinking we're good with one right now. If we need to split it down the road, praise the Lord, we'll do that and go from there. But many fields, this is an area where, again, Satan can drive a wedge. Families that are in a region, perhaps not a real large area. Some of the reports that you heard of Puerto Rico, 10 years ago, there were over a dozen missionaries there. Now, I believe the report was there's 3 left. Certainly some of that comes from differences of opinion that have been, Satan's been allowed to drive a wedge there. Pray that God would give a spirit of unity in the missionary and his fellow worker. Not that one would get their way and the other wouldn't, but that both would be yielded to the Spirit of God to do what He says. Follow this through with me. The ministry in Iqaluit that God's called us to, does He have a plan for that ministry? Yeah. God has a plan for that ministry. What's His plan? I don't know yet. to spread the gospel. That is His plan, His ultimate plan, yes. But what are the exact details of that plan? I don't know. but he knows. And he's called two families to go to that town to work in that ministry that he's called us to. And he'll reveal it. But we have to be open to what he says. So pray that we would be open to that, that we'd see the Lord work in that matter. Number seven, or Saturday, however you want to look at this. Pray for the missionary's place of service. You say, what is that? Pray for the missionary's place of service. In this, we're dealing with the field specifically. Pray for where they're at. Pray that God would work in the hearts and lives of the people of that town. Pray that God would give wisdom and discernment in that missionary adapting to that area. Pray that God would send forth more laborers to that area. Are there any places that are overpopulated with missionaries and churches right now? The needs are everywhere. Pray for his place of service. Seven things. Seven things that are hopefully helpful in that they're more specific. They bring it down a little bit to some of the practical needs that a missionary faces on the field. Number one, missionary's relationship to God. Number two, the missionary's physical and emotional life. Number three, the missionary's family. Number four, the missionary's ability to communicate. Number five, the missionary's ministry. Number six, the missionary and his fellow workers. And number seven, the missionary's place of service. Specific things that we can pray for. And you don't have to do this for every single missionary every day. It'd be great if you did. But as the Lord leads, use this as a template, as a guide of things that if you find yourself getting into a rut of, oh, I'm just praying for the missionaries in general again. Pray that God would help you with that. I'd ask you in closing to turn over to Psalm chapter number 85. Psalm chapter number 85. This has always been a favorite chapter of mine the last several years. The Lord's given a couple of special verses at the end of this chapter that I am claiming as we go to the field. And I'd like to share them with you, that you might claim them with us. We might see the Lord work. Psalm chapter number 85, I'm going to read the whole chapter, and then we'll discuss the couple of verses there at the end. The Bible says, beginning verse number 1, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. We'll stop there for just a second. The territory of Nunavut, where Baffin Island is located, in the Inuktitut language, that word Nunavut means our land. That's basically what it means. And that is our goal, second half of verse number 9. That God's glory may dwell in our land, Nunavut. Verse number 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Verse number 12 and 13, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good. And our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Those last two verses, verses 12 and 13, God has given me here at the brink as we get ready to walk out the door and into a new world. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good. I'm glad I serve a God that gives what's good.
Amen.
It's not always what I want, but it's always good and it's always right. I'm not sure how many of you were around when John Bishop came through. a man that had every excuse in the book to be a grouch and to hang up life. But what did he go around preaching? God's good. God is good. God is always good. You have difficulties you're going through? God is good. He won't let us handle anything that, or give us anything that we can't handle. He is always good. Does it mean there's never going to be difficulties? No. But He's always good. The second half of verse number 12, "And our land shall yield her increase." God has promised that His word won't return void, but it will accomplish that which He has sent it to do. Many times we just assume that it's going to accomplish what we want it to do. There's 7,500 people in Iqaluit. You know what I want it to do? I want it to reach every single one of them. Wouldn't it be great to have a church of 7,500 in a town of 7,500? If they're all there, you could. Pretty much everybody's in control of every building. So you get any building you want to use as a church because nobody's using it for anything else because they're all a church. Does that make sense? Is that going to happen? I don't know. It could. But our land will yield her increase. Verse 13, "Righteousness shall go before him." Who? "And set us in the way of his steps." Think about that. Heather, come here. Let me illustrate something. I didn't take time tonight, but if I would have taken time to lay out steps, you know, the little footprints along the way, the Bible says that righteousness will literally go before him and set him in the way of his steps. Heather, don't walk. Just stand right where I tell you to stand, okay? If I have a path for Heather to go of that direction, and every time it's time for her to move, I do that. Is she going to veer off course? She is being set in the way of his steps. When is she going to get off course? She's going to get off course when she decides, hey, you know what? Going down that aisle looks pretty fun. Right? If she decided that she wanted to go down that aisle, is she going to end up back there? No. Heather, you can go sit down now. Righteousness, doing that which is right, shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Would you pray with us that we would remain yielded and let God set us in the way of his steps? The Bible says, as for God, his way is perfect. If we yield to him, we'll end up in the right place where we need to go. We appreciate you partnering with us. We're going to miss you as we go. We'd love to keep in contact. I appreciate you, those that have filled that sheet out. We'll be adding those things to our list. But hopefully tonight, it's helped to understand a bit better how to pray for us. And we've been able to be on both sides of the coin. Having been on the field, I remember specific occasions having a thought pop in my mind. First thought that popped in was, I hope someone back home is praying. We appreciate your prayers. The rest of our missionaries, we can pray with them that God would work, that the Word of God would have free course. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight, Lord, for the opportunity that we have. Lord, the